Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Good Night Dad podcast. I'm joined again by Brandon Schumann. Hey, Brandon.
Hello.
I'm General Eccles, and today's podcast, we're just going to get right into it. We're going to be talking specifically about the seventh grade portion of an MCA education. Brandon, tell us what we're going for in seventh grade specifically at MCA.
Before we jump into what seventh grade looks like, I'd like to just remind people of what our vision is at the school, which is engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering greatness. And then just underneath those, which are perhaps a little less publicized, are what our core values are at MCA. And those values are truth, freedom, self-governance, love, and discipleship. And so everything we do at MCA points back to one or more of those things. Today, specifically, what we're going to be discussing is the values of freedom and self-governance and how that plays out in seventh grade at Midland Classical. Just to define our terms, freedom is just simply the ability to make choices. And self-governance is the other side of that coin. And what self-governance is it's the ability to make wise choices. Without one, you can't have the other. If you're not making wise choices, then your freedom, just consequences are going to have their natural effect and limit your freedom and take it away. If you don't have freedom in the first place, you don't even have the ability to make wise choices. What we're trying to go for as a school is develop students to be able to make wise choices for life. And seventh grade has a really big part of that. A tool that we use at MCA to kind of describe this process is what we call the Freedom V. And what the Freedom V is it's in the shape of a V, and the sides of the V represent boundaries. And then inside the V is positive consequences. So when a student makes choices or a person makes choices and they're operating inside that V, inside those boundaries, they're experiencing positive consequences. They're free to step out of that V and make choices that go beyond those boundaries, and then they're going to experience negative consequences. The reason it's a V is the lower in the V you are, the tighter those boundaries are, and it's a structural system to help people learn to make good choices within a limited context as they demonstrate the capacity to make good choices and experience positive consequences. What we want to do is move them up in that V to where they have wider freedom, and if they continue to progress there, then continue to move them up. And so we want to develop people and develop students to having the highest capacity they can to handle freedom well. If they make mistakes, then we can lower them back down the V. For instance, at the grammar school, students go to the bathroom when the teachers tell them to. They all go in a line. At the upper school in my classes, I tell my students, hey, if you need to go to the bathroom, just go. You don't have to say, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Just quietly get up and leave and go. They've learned how to use that freedom well. And if it becomes a distraction, then I can talk to that individual student and say, hey, why are you always going to the bathroom 10 minutes into class? And yeah. Then we can work through that. And that's just one example of how that looks. We're trying to help students become people that are capable of making wise choices. Seventh grade is a very pivotal year at MCA. It's because they are given wide amount of freedom that most 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds, at least in the American way of life, don't get to experience. And so we give them plenty of opportunities to make choices. Starting in seventh grade, per most traditional schools, students have six teachers, six different classes, as opposed to just one teacher that's going to instruct them all day long. In addition to that, what we provide for them is kind of a college-style schedule to where they may have class at 8:15, 9:15, and then not have class again until 1:15, potentially. And so they've got 3 hours to determine how am I going to behave, what choices am I going to make. And there is no structural system in place where we're going to specifically monitor and say, you need to go to the study hall and study and be quiet. They can go to the resource center and study. They can also go to the student center and hang out. They can go to the practice gym and shoot baskets. They can leave campus. They can run around and act like hooligans.
We've had three boys go through this process and having survived seventh grade and all the freedoms that Brandon's describing. But even as we're sitting here talking about it, my palms get a little sweaty.
Sure.
Because there is an immense opportunity to fail in this, to misuse it, to misappropriate the time. Oh, man.
There's a lot of immaturity that happens,
yeah.
But when immaturity occurs, that gives us as an MCA staff and as parents the ability to come in and say, was that the best choice?
Right.
Okay, why wasn't that the best choice? What would have been a better choice? And when necessary, provide some consequences. And sometimes those can take place in the grade book if they're spending all their time shooting baskets. They're not going to be passing their classes for long. And those consequences will come, but it gives them the opportunity to learn how to govern and manage their own time. And that, perhaps more than anything else, is what the education of Midland Classical is about, is learning how to make good choices. It comes back to those values of freedom and self-governance. And so it's a very daunting thing for a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old to step out of a class and not be told, here's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
They have that opportunity to learn how to do that over the course of their career at MCA.
I'm just thinking back, whenever I went from elementary school to a junior high, it's almost like the V was inverted. It's like the only thing that changed, we didn't have any more freedoms or responsibility. They just took away recess. So we had even less chance to make a mistake or to grow. That I really like the idea. I like that visual of a V. And if you have trouble getting the visual, draw that out and then really consider that. It's a powerful tool that I'd recommend dads to use. We've got Scott Lye with us, and we're going to move into an interview portion of this to put a little more meat on the bones of what Brandon's describing seventh grade being and kind of what the school's goals are and what we invite parents to come into. Scott, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Scott is, by my terms and definitions, he's a rock star dad in a lot of different ways, and we got to get more comfortable calling each other that. And that doesn't mean, again, that doesn't mean perfect in every aspect. That just means that you're doing a good job at this. Your family seems more than healthy. Y'all are thriving. Y'all are embracing what we're doing at MCA, and that seems to be a good fit for you guys. Tell us a little bit about your family, where everybody's at, and what stage y'all are in at MCA.
Sure. My wife is actually a sixth grade teacher, Jennifer, and whenever the seventh graders move up, there's a massive change, and they start trying to work through that with their sixth graders, especially the second semester there at MCA at sixth grade. She's a sixth grade teacher, and then I've got a fifth grader, Callie, that's our baby, our only girl, and then I have two boys, an eighth grader and a seventh grader this year. We had that first initial seventh grade transition, seventh grade growth movement last year, and it was an interesting process. It was interesting to go through that with Grace and our oldest, and then Reagan's our seventh grader this year.
What would you tell dads specifically, but parents that are either 2 weeks into this now, having done it before and being in the middle of it, how would you encourage them if they're in fifth or sixth grade and they're going to be getting there next year or in the near future? How would you encourage them?
Honestly, it works itself out. Brandon described it pretty clearly that those consequences kind of start directing them to make better choices a lot of times. And you may not see it right away. You may not see it at the beginning of seventh grade. It may be halfway through their seventh grade year until you start seeing them react to their mistakes that they're making on their own. So just have patience in that regard, but also be ready to be a counselor, be able to guide them through those hard times as they come to you when they're struggling and when they're upset because they did make those bad choices. The best thing to say is just to have patience with them.
The uniqueness of the environment in seventh grade, the amount of free time, the schedule structure, the course load, freedom to come and go, freedom to make all those decisions. Obviously, your two boys are unique as far as being individuals, but is there anything that you learned the first time through that you feel like you're better equipped with Reagan at this point?
Honestly, Grayson and Reagan are so different that we have to approach it completely differently. Grayson, we knew that there were going to be some bad choices right away. We knew that he was going to decide that it's better to go play basketball, better to spend time with friends, and to not take advantage of that free time he has to do well with his homework and his classes. And so we had late nights, and we knew that we were going to have that going in. But you kind of have to allow him to make those choices and allow him to see where the consequences come in, and the fact that he wasn't getting any sleep, that he was angry and frustrated, that his grades were going to suffer. There was one point where he was a fraction away from not being eligible to play some of the basketball games, and the stress that caused him was painful for a parent to see, but it was neat to watch him grow in that, and that was really the turning point. I guess it was about halfway through the basketball season, whenever his grade struggle came in. From then on, his grades were incredible. There was never a fallback into that old pattern. He started taking care of business, With Reagan, it's completely different. Reagan is a people pleaser, is more like his mom in that he is very detailed, very structured, has his schedule set, will write out exactly what he needs to do. We knew going into this year that we weren't really going to have to worry about it. And it's already pointed out that in the first 2 weeks, his homework was done probably on Monday all the way through Friday. And he's already done some of his homework for next week. Whereas Grayson, he's kind of back into that mold that he was at the beginning of seventh grade year. And he's having to struggle through that beginning. And he's realizing quicker this year that he's got to get back on top of things.
I think you even used the term that it clicked. Parents, be encouraged that even with this being a whole new experience and all those opportunities, that eventually it will click. I think it's interesting. We kind of deal with the same thing, especially with one of our sons. It's almost a yearly thing. He's having to click in eighth grade, and he's going to have to click in ninth grade as well. And so that's really encouraging. It would seem that you would have an advantage being married to a sixth grade teacher. I was just talking to Leah, and I've talked to a couple of other teachers and parents about this particular transition, and it was unanimous to encourage dads and parents to really trust those sixth grade teachers specifically for what they're trying to accomplish in preparation for seventh grade. And at this point, all of those sixth grade teachers have had kids, they've seen it from both angles, but that is their specific job, is that preparation. Am I reading that right?
No, absolutely. Jen and I talked about that over the last couple of days, getting in preparation for this. Cindy Lehman, who's unbelievable, an amazing resource that MCA has, and Amy Miller and Jen, they all three are great at what they do. I think you really have to divide the grammar school up into two sections. You have the kindergarten through fifth grade, where they really are kind of walking side by side with the kids nonstop. There's very great direction in what they do. And in the sixth grade, they really try to transition to get them ready for that upper school, in that it's a completely different way of doing school. They still have the same routine, but there's more freedoms built in. And then in the second half of that sixth grade year, they stop handing out the actual syllabus, and there's not as much structure. And they do that on purpose so that they start getting them ready. It's nowhere near what seventh grade is, but it starts opening them up to some of those freedoms and realizing that they're responsible for their actions and that they're not going to be told exactly what to do. They're going to have to do it on their own.
Well, something I'm observing through both of what you guys are saying is that you are aware of what your kids' skill sets, their personalities, their strengths, their weaknesses, and you monitor those things, but you also let them make decisions within that. But you're still aware of where the boundaries are. You're still there to provide the boundaries and the consequences as they need to come, but allowing your sons and daughter to make those decisions.
Absolutely. One of the greatest things about MCA is it requires parents to have a relationship with their kids, because there's so much of a parental influence into the school, into their education, that you have to know your own kid. You have to know your own child and what their strengths and their weaknesses are, where to push, where to pull back. I think the school itself has made me a better parent in that regard, and that I have a better relationship with my kids because of what MCA has forced us to do. It's one of the things we love about MCA.
To piggyback off of that, not just what it does for the parent-student relationship, but just the student's growth, what we've seen is that the system basically demands that the student have a relationship with their tutor as well. I don't know that it's humanly possible to really succeed at MCA without asking for help. I made it through the first 30 years of my life without ever having to ask for help, and suffered a lot because of that. That's just a priceless lesson that I really appreciate about the system. It's not just about freedom and how are they going to handle that. It's about creating opportunities to learn. That gets us back to our vision statement, really to grow and to come to realize as quick as possible that to be the best that we can be, it requires others. It requires the help of others. It requires an existing structure. It requires more material, more input. And that all requires a certain level of trust that I really value about MCA.
Just to piggyback on that, yep. One thing I wanted to make sure I said today is that you have to encourage your kids to go to their tutors, to ask questions, to ask for help. MCA is such a great picture of the Acts 2 church that was created. And truly, the end of that chapter is really God's direction of what our church on earth is supposed to look like. And MCA is a perfect picture of that. Those tutors are incredible. The way they pull all of their resources together, the way they are there for the kids at any time. And it teaches the kids to rely on others. You're right, General. In our society, in our world, we've pulled back to where we rely on ourselves so much. And I think it's a great model for these kids to realize that we're supposed to work together in every aspect, and that they cannot do it on their own.
Scott, assuming that maybe there's some parents out there that haven't made this transition to seventh grade, but they've heard certain things, maybe this is the first exposure they've had to what to even expect in seventh grade. If there's parents out there feeling any level of intimidation about what's coming, and like this ominous, this is going to be so hard. We've actually talked to parents and had conversations and heard about parents that they literally bail because I don't think Johnny can handle this, or I don't think she can pull this off. The demands are so rigorous kind of thing. What would be your encouragement to a parent that's in that position with a fifth or sixth grader right now?
I will say just to have patience, that you can absolutely make it. It does not matter the IQ level of your child. It does not matter what their personalities are. The greatest thing about MCA is it includes everybody, and it allows for every type of personality, every type of kid. There are going to be sleepless nights. There's going to be pain. There'll be some tears. Jen and I both, probably all the way through Grayson's elementary years, were extremely worried about his transition to seventh grade and how he would do. Not at all because of his IQ level, because he's ridiculously smart. But his focus is different than most kids. And I think you and I can relate because Cademan and Grayson are so much alike. It's not even funny. So we were scared to death walking into that process. In the first month, we had lots of tears, lots of prayers, lots of trying to figure out what to do and how we're going to make this work. It, not only did it work, the growth we saw last year in Grayson was just incredible. I mean, it was just an unbelievable blessing. There is no doubt in my mind that if you have a desire for your son or daughter to go through a school like MCA, that you can make it work. You just have to have that patience. It takes a lot of time on your knees praying just to keep yourself sane. Amen. But it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it.
Our oldest son, we didn't even have enough information or awareness to be intimidated. We just went from sixth grade to seventh grade. And
hence this podcast.
Exactly, yeah. He survived it. It clicked, and he figured it out. We all figured it out. Then Conray, being the second and having some exposure to the systems and how things worked, it was cake, literally, for him. Like you're saying with Grayson, we had some real concerns if this was going to be the best fit for Cademan, just because of where he was at, maturity, learning style, personality, everything. And we prayed about it, and we felt real strong that we had to give it a real try. And it was hard, but it did click, and he is absolutely thriving now within this environment that we had to question as parents if this is really going to be the best fit. I just encourage dads, especially, again, to be the leader in this as you begin to consider this and prep for it. Like we said before, cast the vision, but scout ahead, too, and talk to parents. Talk to dads like Scott. Talk to people that have gone through the whole process, and just continue to put tools in your belt that better equip you to lead your family through these different transitions. Scott, specifically from the dad standpoint and RenWeb, the RenWeb app, which is how we access our grades, how do y'all use RenWeb, you and Jennifer, as parents?
We learned quickly last year to watch almost on a daily basis because you never know when those grades are going to be input. You never know when revisions are going to be done. One of the things Grayson really struggled with was communicating and going and talking to his tutors. He was just intimidated. He was scared, just like any 12 and 13-year-old would be. He was scared to approach an adult and say, hey, I messed up. What do I need to do to make this right? If you watch that, you can kind of monitor whether they've actually done the revisions or not, and you can kind of guide them into those communications. Grayson had one tutor that basically, I think, his revisions got set aside and didn't realize it, and Grayson was scared to ask him, didn't want to bother him about the fact that his revisions hadn't been entered. And once he did, it was no big deal that the grades were entered and everything else. And he saw that communication, it was just a quick, easy thing, and it wasn't going to offend the tutor that you're just questioning what's going on. It allowed us to know that we needed to keep pushing him to ask that, because without that guidance, I'm not sure he would have.
Right.
It opens the door to be able to communicate with your kiddo about their grades. And it's a great thing where you can check up on them without them even knowing that you're checking up on them.
Yeah. As a dad, I've just got to confess, I underutilize RenWeb and check it when I need to instead of probably as often as I should. For those of you unfamiliar with RenWeb, it can operate, especially for the dad and the family, kind of like the insurance company that has the snapshot deal that tells you how you're driving and where you're speeding. And basically, that's a valuable tool to have. And you don't have to be so invasive in, through conversation and prying stuff out of your kids, that it's just there and you can start the conversation where it needs to start and be a lot more expedient in addressing things. And just it really encourage parents to take advantage of RenWeb, just that particular technology.
General, I'd like to just share a few things from talking to some tutors about things that they've observed that help their students succeed at MCA and things that parents can be involved in. Ron Miller, who's a great resource because he's had kids go all the way through this and has been at MCA as long as anybody, has observed that there's a tendency sometimes when parents are at the grammar school, it's control, 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 and then you hear all this freedom, and then they get to seventh grade, it's like, well, make your choices, my hands are off, and the parents are detached or not really aware of what's happening. That's not part of the Freedom V model. You're abandoning your son or daughter out in the middle of the ocean and saying, you can make it, here's a paddle. So here they are out in the middle of the ocean, and they're not going to find success that way. And so what you want to do as a parent is let them grow into that freedom, but you still provide those boundaries. Matt Waller has said that it's the parent's job to disciple your son or daughter through the freedom that they have. MCA provides the freedom. You, as a parent and as a dad, are the discipler. And so you're helping them navigate that freedom that they have and learn how to grow with it on the home end. You guys have already hit on this a good bit, but just some of the practical things that students can do are talk with their tutors, turn in their revisions, and then as parents, you can use the RenWeb app. Some ways that you can help your student learn to talk with the tutors is if you see that there's a need for it, say, okay, I want you to talk to your tutor by the end of this week. And so you've given them a deadline, you've given them a time that's not super long. And then by the end of the week, I'm going to call the tutor and say, hey, have you had this conversation with them? And then you can just follow up with that. And it's like, yeah, they came and talked to me on Tuesday. And then that gives you as a parent the opportunity to come alongside and encourage your seventh grader or even your senior, if you need to, on that and say, hey, you did a great job here. Or if you didn't, then it gives you the opportunity as a parent to say, no, you didn't do this. Why not? This is what the agreement was. It gives you the opportunity to allow students to grow into their freedom. And Matt also suggested, and Debbie Shelburne as well, and both Matt and Debbie kind of teach the seventh admin class, which is how to do life well at MCA as a seventh grader. They both said, look at your students' schedules, and you can begin seeing, here's some of the natural breaks that you have, and you may be able as a parent to help coach and guide and offer suggestions or counsel on, yeah, go play in the gym this hour because you need a break, you need to get some of that energy out, but 30 minutes later or an hour later, go into the library and let's knock out your math.
Yeah.
As a parent, you can provide that counsel. It's not just, well, they'll figure it out. I mean, that's one method, but that's putting a lot on your son or daughter, and perhaps it may be more than what they can handle.
Right.
But if you can help provide some vision and focus for how they might be able to use it, they're still able to make those decisions, and then you can talk through the decisions that they're making and continue to coach and counsel along the way. And those were things that Matt and Debbie both suggested when I asked them independently. What are some ways that parents can help their seventh graders succeed at the upper school?
Man, that's great. We've discovered, as we're describing this whole process and all these freedoms and the decisions and opportunities to fail so that they can learn, our oldest one just is starting his second year at college, and he showed up day one at college so prepared for handling all the free time and the freedoms that were available, and not just in a moral sense, but just in a practical, I've got 15 minutes here, and he actually utilized that 15 minutes to his advantage, and it shows that the results are amazing, and especially in contrast to most of the young men and women around him, had no experience in that. They literally got dumped at school, and suddenly their V is wide open, and the V's never been wide open, and they don't know how to handle that. They're ill-equipped for that much freedom, and probably a third of those aren't even at school anymore. It's that severe what's at stake. We could have a whole discussion about the moral part of that, but just practically how much further ahead and better equipped he was for success at the college level, and just things as simple as if the teacher said read chapter 1 and 2, he would read chapter 1 and 2 instead of rock climbing, whatever his other opportunities were, and the difference that makes Wednesday at class in preparation for that test, or and the difference that was between him and some other students. So there's a lot going on. If you feel a little intimidated, if it makes your palms sweat a little bit, and to watch them sink and swim, man, I'm with you. We've been there, but let your palms get sweaty. Wipe them off on your pants, but hang in there, because there's a lot of good stuff going on. Scott, we really appreciate you being here with us this morning. As a dad of an eighth grader, a seventh grader, and a fifth grader, real quick, what are you looking forward to with MCA at the later stages?
I'll tell you, the family at MCA is just unbelievable. We're truly blessed. Jen and I really feel like you're supposed to live your life in that community, and we have two. We have our church, and we have MCA. We have very few friends outside those two communities. I love seeing that modeled for our kids. I love walking through that whole process. I love watching the juniors and seniors that are just incredible leaders. They're so great with those seventh and eighth graders. And you don't see that at other schools. You don't see that anywhere else. And I'm excited to hear the stories, the MCA kids that have graduated and have gone on to schools where they can stand up for what they believe in, and unbelievably successful just because of what has been fed into them through MCA.
Well, thanks for joining us, Scott. Listeners, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Goodnight Dad podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering